place puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Gordon Gulls rejoins us now with Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, before we start into the body of today's topic, last week you talked about a trip that you were organizing to northern Manitoba. Did you have any response?
Wow, did I ever. The responses were so overwhelming that all 12 seats aboard the boat to York Factory that I'm planning were snapped up within 2 days. Well, given this interest, I spoke with the boat operator, Clint Sawchuk. He runs a company called Nelson River Adventures, and he had another set of dates available. So I offered that alternative, and it was fully subscribed within a day. So that means I'm going to York Factory twice. For anyone we couldn't accommodate, I've actually started a waiting list. You know, if somebody backs out at the last minute, we maybe could accommodate them. And we're going to carry that list forward to 2027. And so I'm probably going to go back to York Factory then too. So yeah, really, really, really successful.
Lots of demand there. And I'm glad people should experience Northern Manitoba. It's a gift.
Yeah, well, in York Factory especially, it exudes history.
Now, Gordon, what are we talking about this week?
Well, a couple of days ago, I was sitting in traffic and I noticed the license plate on the car ahead of me. It was one of those Jets fan plates, and along the bottom it read, Honoring the Past. You know, I like that. It actually kind of resonates with me. But it struck me that if this driver headed down to North Dakota, anyone reading that plate, they would understand the sentiment all right, but they might also think it contained a spelling mistake. You know, after all, in America, there is no U in honor. I could, by the way, make a pun about that, you know, but I won't. So today, we're looking at some of the differences between Canadian and American English that would become sticking points if Canada ever joined the U.S. And for the record, I sincerely hope that never happens.
Yeah, it's really interesting growing up in the U.K. and then moving here and just seeing which words in Canada are similar and which words are different.
Right, exactly. You know, Canada kind of straddles the difference between British English and American English. Some of our words follow the British convention, others lean American, and many Canadians, especially those of us taught by English or Scottish professors at university, that was my training, and I still kind of felt a little bit of a tug toward the old country. You know, so for example, I was taught to spell program, the word program, with two M's and an E at the end. Well, today, I think most Canadians have embraced the simpler American spelling with one M and no E. Yet, people may recall that not long ago, a few weeks ago, Prime Minister Carney drew public criticism when the 2025 federal budget or a press release about meeting with the U.S. president or in various social media posts, he used British spelling. You know, maybe it harkens back to his days as the Bank of England's governor. I don't know. But he wrote things like utilize using an S or globalization with an S. And, you know, Canadians, well, we typically use a Z. Like Americans. Although I do expect to hear from a few listeners who will argue vigorously in favor of the S. The editor-in-chief of the Canadian English Dictionary even took Mr. Carney to task, arguing that federal governments have followed Canadian English conventions since at least the 1970s. This distinction of spelling has always kind of fascinated me, and we now have tools that let us investigate how changes in spelling have occurred over the years.
Tell us about those tools.
Well, in a nutshell, they're digitized historical newspapers. Through the language they choose in the newspaper and the style they embrace, newspapers offer a snapshot of the social norms and the linguistic conventions of the era in which they were published. We can use them to investigate changes in word spelling over time. So here in Manitoba, our newspaper record goes back to the 1870s. You can find issues of the Manitoba Free Press, which, by the way, is today's Winnipeg Free Press. Well, they've been scanned and they've been converted into searchable text. That text is available on commercial services such as newspaperarchive.com. And I've got a subscription to that service. One of the features that I especially enjoy is when I search for a specific word, the website doesn't just show me the pages where the word occurs. It also generates a graph that shows how frequently that word appeared over the time period I select. So if we return to the word honor and I search for it using the Manitoba and Winnipeg Free Press, we find something I find kind of curious. The Free Press spelled it without the U, In other words, the American way, until about 1996, when the version with the U suddenly skyrocketed. In other words, we were using the British spelling only since 96, and before that we used the American spelling. This is the exact opposite of what I expected. But I have a potential explanation that I'll come back to shortly.
Okay, because I'm dying to find out what you think it might be the reason. But before we go on, regarding the digitized historical newspapers, Bruce has a question.
Yes, Bruce.
Digitized, spelt with a Z or an S?
Well, there's a good example. Personally, as a Canadian, I would spell it with a Z.
Yeah, me too.
I think some people with British background would say, no, must be an S.
Interesting.
What about other words with Canadian versus American spellings?
Well, of course, there's all these words that have a U, like honor, the American spelling of labor or color. You know, I was interested in how frequently they were used in the free press. And yeah, they were used consistently throughout the 20th century. In other words, we didn't use British spellings going back in the early days. We used the American spelling. The version with the U began appearing in the late 1940s, and it became much more common in the 1970s. So fairly recently have we been using British spellings. Again, the opposite of what I expected. So there we go. You know, the first dictionaries of Canadian English appeared in 1967. Of course, that's Canada's centenary, and I guess we were feeling especially patriotic. And I wondered whether that milestone, the embrace of this formal declaration of Canadian English, might have subtly influenced newspaper editors. And maybe it encouraged them to embrace British spellings more consistently. I don't know. I just don't know.
It's a good theory, though. What about other spelling differences?
Well, consider theater and center, which end in, of course, R-E, reflecting their French spelling and pronunciation, of course, because English had a very distinct French influence. Well, the American, of course, is E-R, and well, if I'm honest, that it tends to be closer to how we actually pronounce them in English. Of course, we don't say centre like they do in French. We say centre, so E-R, to my mind, makes more sense, but oh well. But if you look at the usage trends in the free press through the 1870s, I found no clear pattern. Both spellings, R-E, E-R, appeared throughout the entire 150-year period. Likewise, catalog, you know, with U-E on the end versus catalog without the U-E in the end, no trend, roughly equal abundance throughout the period.
What about the sudden resurgence of the word honor spelt with a U in the 90s?
Right. So we want to come back to that theory, I think. Okay. So it isn't my theory, really. I asked somebody who I thought might be able to shed some light, a fellow named Bob Cox. And I hope that name rings a bell with people because, well, he has had a long relationship with the newspaper business. He was a reporter at the Free Press in the 1980s. He was the editor in the 2000s, and he was its publisher until retirement in 2021. You know, he's had a long newspaper career, and I figured, well, if anyone can offer insight, you know, somebody steeped in the newspaper business would know. And well, what he said, and I thought this was fascinating, journalism students in Canada were long taught to use American spellings. I thought, what? Why? Well, because they were often shorter. You know, in the days of lead type composition, you know, that's where you took the little pieces of lead that had a letter on the end of them and you strung them together to make words. Well, little savings built up. So if you cut out one letter, a U, it made a difference. And I thought, really? That doesn't seem like a big, big thing, but, well, apparently it was. And so they were all taught at journalism school, go to the shorter American versions. Wow. But beginning in the 1980s, and especially in the 1990s, well, what is that? That's the computer revolution. Well, they no longer used lead type. They had machines, you know, they had word processors, basically, and page layout software that could do it all. And, well, as a result, it didn't matter how long the words were. You could use the word that the Canadian English Dictionary prescribed. And so as a result, longer British spellings such as honor with a U, well, they began to appear. And I thought, well, that's kind of neat. I would have never thought of the you know, computer revolution as contributing to Canadian identity. You know, and as I said, the Canadian English Dictionary came out in the late 60s, and in fact, the Canadian Press, which is, our national news service, it embraced that dictionary as the definitive source. So the news stories that news media would get from all over the nation would likewise spell the words with British spellings, well, or at least honor with a U. So I think if you take this all together, you know, I think these changes reflect a broader trend. You know, Canadian identity, you know, where we feel like Canadians as opposed to expat Brits. Well, I think it strengthened after the Second World War, you know, as we emerged from Britain's shadow and we became a country on the international stage. And I think as this case shows, it further accentuated because of the computer revolution of the 80s and 90s, when, you know, when we began using word processing software that had dictionaries with Canadian English instead of American English or British English. And, you know, so I think these unique spellings, which of course distinguish us from Americans, are, I think, just one facet of what sets us apart from our neighbors to the south. We have unique Canadian words, too, that we all understand, but which I suspect leaves Americans perplexed. Words like loony. Everybody knows what a loony is here, but they're going to think, well, that's somebody who's kind of crazy. A toque. I'm wearing a toque today, but, oh, I'm not sure they'd know about that in the U.S. A Chesterfield. What is a Chesterfield? Well, everybody knows here what that is, or I just wiped my mouth with a serviette, you know. And so, you know, would our word choices or our preference to spell honor with a U change if Canada ever joined the United States? Well, I hope we never have to find out.
Word changes, least of all worries if Canada and US were to become one. But on the list, maybe, for some. Thank you so much, Gordon.
You betcha.
What's up for next week?
Well, a few months ago, a listener contacted me with an odd little story she had found in a local newspaper from her community, another one of those digitized historical newspapers. We're going to dig into that story next week. But for now, all I'm going to say is it involves ashes from an unusual source.
Thank you, Gordon.
See you next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.